Five straight AFC championship games for the Kansas City Chiefs. Five straight at home as well after the Bengals took care of the Bills yesterday. Let's welcome on and say good morning to Kendall Gammon, of course, our Chiefs analyst, former player. It's brought to you by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience. Kendall, 27-20 win over the Jaguars. What's your big takeaway from this game on Saturday afternoon?
I mean, the big takeaway is them finding a way to win, and with what happened with Mahomes, and that's just really the whole story is his health and how they go. I mean, Chad Henne came in, did a great job, obviously, and I'm sure everybody's heard all about that. But, I mean, how the Chiefs go is going to be how Mahomes goes this week, and it's going to be interesting. They say it's day-to-day. We're being told it's a high ankle sprain, but kudos to the Chiefs for stepping up, though, when he went out and doing what they did, especially that 98-yard drive.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this Mahomes high ankle sprain, knowing this sport as you do, Kendall, what does this week look like for him? How do you game plan around your star quarterback who, you know, plays off of his mobility? Having this high ankle sprain, what does that look like?
Well, he's just got just constant care, constant physical therapy going on throughout the week. I can't imagine that he would have practiced Wednesday and maybe lightly Thursday, if at all. I mean, to me, getting reps and everything isn't as important as getting that ankle as healthy as possible. Now, Rick Buchholter, the head athletic trainer, is just a phenomenal guy and what he does. And so, obviously, he's getting the best care. But ankle sprains in general, you can't rush him very much. You just got to do the best you can, if, in fact, that is what it is. And I don't know. I don't know how much sense it makes to try to irritate it more early in the week and get him practicing. So I'm sure we'll hear more, if not today, maybe tomorrow.
How about Travis Kelce? 14 catches, clearly. I mean, he's always been the number one guy, especially since Tyreek left this season for this team. But has some big catches on that Chad Henne touchdown drive. Obviously, the security blanket for this team. And you know, I mean, you just know he's the number one option. He's not the fastest guy on the field, but he always finds himself open. What do you attribute that to, Kendall?
Well, he is amazing. You're right about that. He is the best tight end to ever play this game. I don't even think it's arguable at this point. I don't know, because he gets beat up quite a bit. I mean, people try to just grab him off the line. You saw several calls against him, you know, the guys holding and grabbing down the field. I think you have to give Andy Reid a lot of credit for figuring out ways to get him involved even after he blocks. And you saw it oftentimes, he'll hit a little bit, he'll stay there, and then he will just, you know, turn his shoulders and show his face. And, you know, we've all heard how Kelce and Mahomes just have this little sense of knowing what each other is thinking. And I don't know. I mean, 14 receptions to me is just phenomenal. And of course, that's a new record for playoffs and for anybody, let alone a tight end, I believe. And he's just he's a special guy. It's amazing. He's not the fastest because of the receivers out there, but as a tight end, I mean, he's like a slow wide receiver, which is not fair when you're 6'6" and you can move like he does. So he is special. I don't know what to say about it. He makes some great catches, and you're right. Mahomes is really looking for him. And I think part of this also, Pete, was the fact of once everything went down, you knew that as a play caller, Andy Reid, you got to give him credit also, because he started giving him plays to where the ball was going to get out of his hands fast. And I'm not saying that Mahomes can't do that himself, but the type of plays that were getting called were very quick-hitting plays. And then if that's the case, then your tight end's always going to be one of your top guys anyhow, because they're not going to be as far down the field. They generally work the middle of the field, so they're in your vision easier as well. Then, you know, again, Kelce at 6'6", that is just a big target to look at. So a lot went right. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kendall, when you look at this game on Saturday, talked about the offense, but especially down the stretch of this game, the defense, a forced fumble as the Jags were driving, trying to make it a one-score game inside the Chiefs' 10-yard line. Then you had the interception by Watson on the very next drive, which basically sealed the victory for Kansas City. You noted that, hey, I know we all want to talk about the sexy offense, but this defense has gotten better throughout the season. These young guys on the back end are improving. You saw that on Saturday. How does that bode for them going into this weekend's matchup?
Yeah, I think you said it best, which is they are playing well, and they did some things down towards the end. Of course, Bolton, again, with 10 tackles is just phenomenal. Then Legarius Sneed, 9 tackles himself. So doing some really nice things. I think the other thing, too, is a lot was made this week. I was talking about it with some other folks in terms of the safeties needed to have a good game. And Reed and Thornhill, I thought, played well. They had 6 tackles and 5 respectively. So, they got pretty good pressure on Lawrence and, you know, brought him down a couple times. Naughty got a sack, which is nice. And that was on really just a mishap by the offensive line, not realizing what's going on. But you get kudos to the defensive coordinator calling things that's confusing them. And it's nice when you see Naughty and Clark get a sack there. And I realize Chris Jones didn't have a sack, but he had pressures and he was making things happen. And oftentimes when he's getting double teams, that allows somebody else to make the play and do something. And I think that's what we saw. And again, back to what you said and what we talked about a few weeks ago. Yeah, the defense is playing better, continues to play better. They should be very fired up for this game and how they played this week, especially under the circumstances.
The NFL, of course, is not going to get its neutral site AFC championship game. I think that the NFL is upset they're not getting that neutral site game. I think they wanted to test run this thing between the Chiefs and the Bills. What do you think, Kendall?
You know, I think that's a fair statement. Once I heard that, I hadn't thought about it to begin with, but when I heard it a while back, I was like, yeah, I could see that. Because then you've almost got a couple more destination games that become like the mini Super Bowls. But either way, I mean, you know, going back, I know you thought it wasn't fair, and I think I disagreed. But as I think about it more, I probably still have that stance. But everything that happened because of the Bills and Cincinnati not playing, everything was written into the rule books already to handle it the way it was, and they handled it differently. So I can see the point a little bit more from your end of things. But either way, I think that also gave Cincinnati a little bit to play. Joe Burrow, I think, threw a little shade at folks after the game about having to return their tickets and not being in Atlanta. So I think they took it personally. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and this Cincinnati team coming to town for a second straight AFC title game, that concerns you? I mean, I think that Chief Kingdom should be very nervous about this matchup.
Yeah, they should. I mean, you look at the rushing game, Joe Mixon, he had 105 yards against the Bills, and that's a good defense. And, of course, Burrow, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, almost 250 yards. And then, when you look at it, Chase, Higgins, and Boyd, those are some sucked receivers. So, yeah, this week is going to be no easy task for sure. I am happy that it is at Arrowhead Stadium because that'll be a big deal. We understand, obviously, that the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs 3 straight times and, you know, last 2 at KC. So, man, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun game to watch. This is NFL football at its best.
It is. And we'll be talking about that game on Friday with Kendall Gammon. Kendall, thanks, my man. We'll talk to you later this week.
Sounds good. Take care, Pete.
All right. See you later. Well, not to toot my own horn, but as I texted Mark over the weekend, I almost nailed the final score of this game. I predicted Chiefs 27, Jaguars 17, which was the same score as November, and I was off by a field goal. So I'm just saying.
The guy in the bar across the way from me was really upset when they kicked that field goal. He had the -9 and a half. So
yeah.
When Doug Peterson went for the old kick the field goal and try the onside kick, he was not pleased with that.
Oh, man.
Jags are marching for that 24 points that I had predicted right until the pickoff.
That's right. You're right about that. Yeah, because John's, what did you say, 27-24?
I did.
And I said 27-17. Mm-hmm. So we were both in
right
the ballpark.
In there, I went over Price is Right rules. So
yes, you're right. True.
You're there.
I'm the winner.
3, I was within 4, and I went over.
and I got 10 out of the 12 on my parlay.
That's right.
I was very close.
Yeah. Too bad you got to – it's not horseshoes, Mark.
I know.
You got to nail them all, buddy.
Got to get every single one.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival.
featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, we'll get set for Sunday. That's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy at all.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.